Across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
On FM, digital and your mobile.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
I'm going to read you the menu. It's fantastic.
So we get better flavour because of the fen soil.
I've drunk more beer since I came here and bought my two barrels than I've ever done in my life before, I think.
I shouldn't have said almonds. They don't make it from almonds.
So you've got this big sticky mess when you start off.
Pizza pot pints.
My wife's cakes are selling at Hotcakes. Brilliant, thank you.
The time is right for this sort of thing.
Food is everything.
Cambridge is right for this sort of thing.
What's it like? Delicious.
Good afternoon and welcome to Flavour, with an hour of local food and drink news for the Cambridge area. We've got books, new places to have coffee and food, ideas for cooking, news of free food, jobs, all sorts actually. So let's get started. I'm Matt Bentman and here's Alan Alder and Sue Bailey with details of today's programme.
We've noticed on Flavour how many food businesses we've covered in the last few years have disappeared. One of the more recent ones is Trinity in Trinity Street. So, on today's programme, we'll talk to a former Cambridge restaurant owner who has now changed from owning his own restaurant to running a franchised restaurant, and we'll get his perspective on how things are.
However, new cafes and bars are still opening, and we go to Norstow to find out about the Tap and Social, which is launching soon, and which has a building housing a new Steak and Honour outlet. And they will be launching a new product exclusively there too.
And another new cafe, this one in Cambridge's Regent Street, has opened, selling Indian coffee and with a very generous offer for morning coffee drinkers. And we will reveal all.
Amazingly, Cambridge University used to imprison Cambridge women. Caroline Biggs, who listeners will remember was a founder of the much-missed Eat Cambridge Food Festival, has just published a book about it. But what did the women get to eat? We find out.
And Rosie Sykes will be back with us with some ideas for cooking books.
Well, let's begin with the appalling story of the Cambridge women who were imprisoned by the university. I spoke with author Caroline Biggs, whose book The Spinning House has just been published. Long-term Cambridge foodies will remember Caroline as one of the founders of Eat Cambridge, and she also used to appear regularly on Flavour talking about what was coming up on it. She's also been involved in the Cambridge History Festival and has run the Spring Market in Grantchester. Caroline, this is a fascinating tale, and I will be asking you about the sort of foodie angle, but just tell me a little bit about the book and the characters in it.
Well, the book is about how the university did lock up women in its private prison. To be brief, really, it's because the university were frightened that the local women of the town might seduce their precious students, so they had to be tucked away. So if they were seen out at night unchaperoned, wow, they had to get it be put in prison.
Grief. And where was this prison in Cambridge?
It was knocked down in 1894, and what's built there now is Hobson's House, a police station that's currently being converted into a boutique hotel that's going to be called the Hobson.
Well, I never. I mean, this is a fascinating sort of underbelly of a Cambridge life. And what happened was that the university had powers to lock up women.
Yes, Elizabethan Charter had given them the right to arrest any woman suspected of being a prostitute. So there was lots of tittle-tattle about girls and bitchiness going on, and a lot of women were unfairly arrested and imprisoned.
And how long were they in prison for? And what were they fed, more importantly?
Well, how long they're inside depends on if they kicked off, basically. If a girl kicked off when she's being arrested, perhaps because she was innocent, they would get a much longer sentence. So the thing to do was to accept being arrested, even if you were innocent, and just not say anything when the vice-chancellor went to his court. And saying nothing was the best thing to do. But being in there was pretty grim, because the food they were given was not pleasant.
And they had to buy their own food to start off with, I gather.
Yes, the records I was reading from 1846, the women are all complaining about going in and they're being charged for butter, for milk, for tea, and how the beer was stale and how it stunk. And basically, the keeper of the prison at that time, he would go and buy the food, and then he'd inflate the prices and sell them food. And there was stale bread. It was really quite shocking.
No women, I hope, died whilst they were in prison. How long were they in prison for?
Sometimes they were in up to a month, sometimes just overnight. One girl I write about in the book, she did actually die from being in prison because it was so cold, because the window was broken, because there was no heating. Like, most women came out much worse off than they'd gone in.
Oh, that's awful. And then were they then at a later stage fed properly?
A matron was employed in 1860 after there were national condemnation of how the university were treating these women. And then there's a proper dietary. But even then, the women complained about being given lights, which I wasn't sure what lights were, but it's awful, apparently. And they complained about the potatoes being rotten. And that, then they complained about having the skins on the potatoes, something we like these days. But I think if you've got a rotten potato, you don't want the skin on.
No, I think lights were lungs.
Lungs? Well, thank you for telling me that. Well, that doesn't sound great, actually. It's not a part of an animal I'd want to eat.
No, I've tried, but lights or lungs really doesn't do anything for me.
But also that the girls were often hungry because they weren't given enough food. And it's interesting because I was looking around this topic, doing a bit more research, and I did notice how the workhouse in Mill Road actually put an advert in the newspaper asking for tenders to provide bread. And I imagine they wouldn't necessarily go with the most expensive ones. I think it was a great way of getting offloading stale bread.
Mm, that's lovely, isn't it? Well, your book has literally only just been published, hasn't it? And I gather there's a sellout next week at Heffer's, where you're going to be talking about your book, but it's been totally sold out. So where else are you going to be talking about your book locally?
I'm going to be talking to Ely about the book on March the 20th. And that's all so far, but there's going to be other stuff coming up, I'm sure.
This is a fascinating book, and what's the interesting thing about it? It's not just dry history. You're telling the tales of these women as well.
What I wanted to do when I told this story is not give a straight history. I wanted to really get inside the lives of the four women who actually became nationally, internationally famous for taking the university to court, because their stories are fascinating. They're women who are unfairly arrested, ordinary women who just unlucky they were put in prison, and the consequences were dire, because any association with the spinning house, but you were tainted. So even if you were respectable, you were innocent. People go, oh, well, you know, she was arrested. We saw her being marched down Regent Street. She must be guilty. But like today, really, just tittle-tattle and gossip. And it just ruined girls' lives. So in a way, it's possible they had to resort to doing something else to make up at the rent at times. Yeah, it's all really unfair.
Ah, the position of women in Cambridge society. That's a fascinating tale. I'm really going to be looking forward to reading it. Thank you so much, Caroline.
Thank you, Sue.
And Caroline will be talking about her book at an event organised by Topping Books in Ely. It's on the 20th of March and takes place at St Ethelreda's Church in Egremont Street.
And we've got a copy here in the studio.
We have indeed.
And got some fantastic old photos as well.
Oh, yes. It's quite scary and to think this is all true, but it's a fascinating tale. It really is.
Dark bit of Cambridge's history. Shocking.
Oh, yes.
Shocking. Now details of free food available in and around Cambridge, and the information about what's available and where to get it comes from the Olio app, and that exists so that people's or businesses' surplus food doesn't go to waste.
That's right, and today's look at Olio for Cambridge shows us that the prolific Olio member Will Run is back on the horse. Now, this time he's got 4 bags of large white onions, 3 Tesco Tiger baguettes and 12 white batons, all available to be collected from his home on Coleridge Road. Meanwhile, Ronnie in Orchard Park has a pack of Warburton's wholemeal baps and a farmhouse loaf available. Jacob in Hardwick posted a load of items last night, and he's still got swedes, little gem lettuces, 1 brown sourdough bloomer, and 2 cheddar and jalapeno bread rolls. Scotch rolls, too, potato cakes, croissants and cheese twists. All of that stuff is still available to be taken. Lorna near Scottsdale's on the road to Great Shelford has plenty of loose bakery items too, including pretzels, croissants and baguettes, as well as lots of those little drinking yogurts, strawberry-flavoured ones. And Blandine in Water Beach has a tub of classic clotted Cornish cream. And finally, Sylvie in Sawston has a bottle of stir-fry soy sauce to give away. She's used it just a little bit, but it's not her favourite flavour, she says. So, there's a lot more activity this weekend. It's really picked up from previous weeks when things were a little bit scarce. Even so, this is just a snapshot from this morning of what is available on the Olio app in our area, so be sure to check it regularly.
And the app Too Good To Go has unsold foods from restaurants and cafes and shops, often at less than half price. And some of the places that use Too Good To Go are Marks & Spencer's Simply Food branches at Cambridge Station and at Addenbrookes Hospital, Namaste Restaurant in Castle Hill, Sushi Gourmet in Coldham's Lane, Aldi in Newmarket Road and in Histon Road, the Co-op and the Spa in Sawston, the Co-op in Waterbeach. There are lots more. And rather than specifying each unsold item, the surplus food is simply put into a magic bag and that's ready for you to take home, and that stops it being binned at the end of the day's trading.
Now, Norstow is a rapidly developing town to the north of Cambridge, and it will eventually have a population of around 25,000 people. In 2021, there are more than 2,500 living there, so perhaps maybe 3,000 now. But whilst there's a regular street food van visitation, there are no shops or cafes. However, things are about to change with the opening of Norstow Tap and Social. Alan asked the director, Steve, and operations and marketing manager, Alex, what it will include. And the answer can be summed up in a single word.
Loads. At one end of our building, we will have a tap room, a bar, offering 21 beers, mostly from local breweries. And then at the other end, we have our bakery. We have an in-house baker, Molly. Everyone will love Molly. We already love Molly. And she is going to be producing amazing breads and pastries. Molly's great with yeast. She won't mind me saying that. And in front of that, we have a coffee shop. So we will be selling Molly's produce in conjunction with the coffee shop. And we'll also have probably some salad-type offerings from there as well. And appealing to the people who attend our studio gym, we'll address the balance.
Yeah, and Alex, Steak and Honora have got a pretty major and permanent presence as well.
Yep, so they've got a unit that is going to be separate but permanently on site there. They will be here from Wednesday to Sunday, serving up their classic burgers along with Dot's Hot Chicken. But they also, on a Wednesday to Friday, will be offering a lunchtime kind of sub-roll offer, which will be unique to this site.
And so that's a new departure, yeah, then, for Steak & Honora. Yeah. You've managed to persuade them to do a bit more.
Yeah. I think Leo is really keen to, try something different and offer up, one of these amazing lunchtime sub things. He's going to be smoking meat from the back of one of his vans, which will go into the rolls, and there'll be like a meat and a veggie option each day. So, yeah, it'll be really, really good.
You've done incredibly well to get all of this together. How do you envisage using it? From what you've said, people are going to be coming here, they're going to be maybe having a beer or a wine or coffee, something like that. Yeah. But do you envisage people, because, you know, Norstow famously still hasn't got any shops, but do you think people might come here simply to buy a loaf and some croissants and take them away?
Yeah, we hope so, yeah, right. Very much. In fact, there's no reason why they shouldn't, frankly. We pondered about delivering possibly, but we would prefer it if people walked here or cycled. We are hoping to sell bread, cakes, croissants.
Yeah.
The works, really.
Yeah. I think there'll be a really, really good takeaway offering. Obviously, the coffee we're getting in is from Wood Street Coffee, who are based in Saffron Walden. So it'll be really, really nice coffee to either have here or take away if you're going to commute in on the guided bus. Bread, yeah, regularly available 7 days a week to kind of take away.
And your baker Molly used to work at Stir Bakery.
She worked at Stir.
So she's got good. Small Town, right? Yeah. So she's got good experience.
Yeah. So we're going to have lots of local grab and go kind of bits on sale within that kind of shop. Deli, bakery, end.
Yeah, and the building, which is quite a large building, has a mezzanine floor as well. So is that sort of space for eating and drinking, or?
It is, yes. I mean, it's primarily eating and drinking. One end of it is where our studio is based, for the studio gym, but that room will also operate as a functions room. for people to hire out separately. Then I think Alex has also already had some inquiries about using that space in that way. And then, obviously, whoever's in the function room can take advantage of the coffee, the bakery, beer, the hospitality that's on offer here.
Right.
Yeah, I think we want people to also come and essentially work remotely here. So we'll have a good setup in terms of, like, people coming here for the day, bringing laptops, chilling out. The function room will have mum and baby classes. We really want it to be a community space that everyone can enjoy.
And that's what's needed in a new development, isn't it?
Exactly,
it's a place for people to meet and get together and share stories and so on. So you're performing a very good social function.
Yeah. Hopefully, yeah. I think it would be a really lovely space for people to come to and enjoy all day
long. But we better say, where are you? Where is it?
Right, OK. Well, we are squeezed between John Henry's head office and the guided bus.
So you're close to the guided
We're
bus.
Right,
so
next
that's
to the guided bus. The golden rule to find us coming from North Stow is to stay on the Willingham Road. If you cross the guided bus crossing, you have unfortunately gone 30 metres too far.
Right.
Because there's a turning on the right hand side and you need to take that turning.
Yeah.
And then we're just tucked up in there on the left.
So that's what, about 5 or 10 minutes walk to the guided bus stop?
Yes. I mean, 10 minutes at the absolute maximum.
So people can come here in the morning, get a coffee, and then get on the bus. So what time? I mean, you said you were going to open at 7. And so the coffee will be available
from eight. Hoping, yeah. Obviously, Molly will be in baking. And then we'll have front of house staff come in at 8 to start serving up the baked goods and the coffee.
So when's all this going to happen then? When are you opening? Have you got any brave predictions?
Our brave prediction is the Easter weekend.
Yeah.
That is absolutely.
And are you on schedule for that?
Yeah, we are. But we work to very fine margins.
Yeah.
Our opening day is another
so it's
another
not,
example of that.
Right. So it's not set in stone just yet.
Oh, it's set in jelly. it's set in something that has more body than that, but than jelly. But, but stone is perhaps just a little too rigid for us at the moment.
Yeah.
But.
Okay. Right. Is the space outside as well for the
balmy
sunny days?
Indeed. The building is more or less south-facing, so we've got a fantastic sunny paved area in front of the building that is where I would prefer to be. I think in the summer it'd be great.
Yeah.
It's great for cyclists to turn up who are doing the regular routes along the guided bus, walkers, people from Willingham. And that outside space unites us and our Staking on a Wing, as we call it. It just ties us all together. It's a large space.
Well, something to really look forward to there. A destination rather like Hot Numbers in Shepworth, maybe. And you can keep an eye on how things are progressing by following them on Instagram. Just look up North Stow Tap and Social.
Yeah, really important things like this. They're so good at helping a community knit together with benefits for mental health and general well-being. It was fantastic being there. It was like being on an episode of Grand Designs, you know, that Channel 4 TV programme.
Exciting.
There were people running around installing windows and all things. It was so busy. Anyway, we wish it well and I will definitely be trying it out.
Well, on to our first news break for today, the 9th of March, and it's Love Cambridge Restaurant Week from the 11th of March to the 20th of March. The associated website, which tells you who is involved, is cleverly organised by price, from £5 up to £30. In the £5 bracket, you can find places like the Copper Kettle, offering tea or coffee and a scone for £5, whilst there's a choice from 6 dishes for £4.99 at Revolution, including fish and chips, burger and fries, margarita pizza, chicken wrap and fries.
And at the other end of the price scale, for £30, you can have 2 courses for £25 or 3 for £30 at De Luca, the Rupert Brooke, the Old Bicycle Shop, Mercado Central and Market House. And I'm not sure that all of those are different from what they normally charge, actually. But anyway, you generally have to book in advance to get these offers, and they're on the Love Cambridge Restaurant Week website.
Amphora in Devonshire Road has announced new dates for the Foraging Chef pop-up, where there are 5 courses with 10 matching wines. And those dates are from the 21st of April and the 19th of May.
And the Radegund in King Street has now reopened. It did on Thursday night after a lengthy refurb, which turned into a lengthy rebuild. And they've got a very large array of beers on tap, and they've got bar snacks as well. And one of the beers, I won't go through all of them, there's too many, but a rather remarkable sounding Norwegian plum wild ale.
Sounds fantastic.
That sounds very interesting. And Clay Farm Community Gardens food trucks are back, and they'll be there on Thursdays from 5 till 8, and you order via the Clay Farm Community Gardens website.
Meanwhile, Cafe Foy on the Quayside has reopened every day except Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
Yeah, nice that things are opening up again. Orleans Kitchen in Pease Hill has a special Orleans Kitchen After Dark evening with Issa Brunch Vibe, and that's on the 16th of March.
And it's the Petersfield Supper Club on 20th of March at 7 p.m, and it will be a Southeast Asia night with 5 courses and 5 drinks.
Cafe Highgate in Willingham has a Chicken Wings night on the 21st of March. Bookings are being taken for 6 p.m. and 8 p.m. slots. A variety of wings will be available: salt and smoked paprika wings, Korean barbecue wings, cauliflower wings for the meat-free alternative, and they're all priced at between £7 and £8. Sides include fries, mac and cheese, coleslaw and mixed leaf salad, and there's a full drinks menu too.
Handmade Pasta has its first supper club coming up, and it's at Meadows in Mill Road on the corner with Ross Street on the 27th of March from 7 till 9 p.m. There are very few spaces available, and you can book via their website. A vegetarian option is available too.
On the 3rd of April, Finboys, along with Hal Wilson, the owner of Cambridge Wine Merchants, co-owner, I think I should say, will be exploring the wines of Côte de Catalan in the Languedoc-Roussillon region of France with some matched fish dishes. The full menu can be found on the Finboys website, and the cost for that is £75.
And that's all the news for now. We've more later, but maybe now is the best time to mention the film The Taste of Things. Have either of you seen it?
No,
I really want to see it.
Right, well, it's still on, actually. I saw it on Monday, and I think it's on next week still at the Arts Picture House, so you will have a chance. Anyway, it was fantastic, and I really recommend it for people who are interested in food. For around about the first, 30 minutes, 35 minutes, are taken up in the kitchen of this gorgeous French country house.
Ooh, nice.
Where a meal is being prepared for the owner of the house and a few of his friends. And so they have chefs working away, doing things like langoustines, pot au feu, oxtail, various sauces, a huge vol-au-vent. These people don't half eat a lot.
They make me hungry.
Baked Alaska, which was new to them, which is quite interesting. Mm-mm. And one of them explains to the others that this is all made on scientific principles because egg white is an insulator, so the ice cream inside
That's
doesn't.
Right.
And they're all fascinated by that. But it's just lovely, lovely. The pots are all these lovely copper cooking pots.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah, and a fantastic range. It's just, and there's just something about abundance of food, which is obviously being cooked wonderfully.
It sounds gorgeous.
Oh, it is. It's just lovely. I must say, whoever I was sitting next to was finding the same because her stomach kept rumbling. I empathise entirely. But it makes you feel, or made me feel, how thin my, my own sort of day-to-day eating is. So we were going home after seeing all of this marvellous food to spiced red lentils, which is...
It's a bit healthy.
It's a bit humble as well, isn't it? Anyway, worth seeing.
There's quite a good few food films out there as well. Are there any others you can mention? I'm thinking of Babette's Feast is a really famous
one.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
That's a great, great favourite of my wife, actually.
Is it?
And it's, if people haven't seen it, it's really using food to bring a community, rather fractious community together.
You know, I haven't seen it.
Oh, well, it's a must. It is an absolute must.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'd recommend one called Big Night, which is Stanley Tucci, one of his first films.
Oh, I love Stanley Tucci.
Yeah, he released a cookbook, didn't he, last year or the year before? Because he's a bit of a prolific chef, isn't
he? Yes, he is. Yeah. He's not bad.
And that was a film all about him and his brother cooking, two Italian brothers in the 50s or the 60s, I think.
Oh,
and
there's, I think
there's one famous section where they just fall silent and they spend the next 5 minutes cooking.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing at the end of the film. It's really nice.
Oh, good, good, good.
Anyway, there is a newish coffee house in Regent Street. It's about halfway along on the Parker's Peace side. And Alan went to try it out earlier in the week and was very impressed. He spoke to manager Aggie first and then Isabella.
This is a beautiful cafe, the London Grade Coffee. It's so stylish. How long's it been here?
So we've been open from the 23rd of December last year, actually. But company was invented first in 2018, now decided to open in Cambridge. We also have another one in Soho in London that was open, I believe, 3 weeks prior us opening.
But what's really quite unusual is that you sell Indian coffee. A lot of places sell South American, and there's, I think, a move to African coffee as well. But Indian's quite unusual.
Yeah, so the whole idea of the person who invented the company, of the director, was just looking at it this way. So South India. India is normally origin that is kind of overlooked, but there is also a lot of potential in there. So they decided to, you know, dive in and just invest in a coffee from South India, actually. So company is really environment friendly. Actually, we get coffee sourced from family-run estates, and we are always looking for the ways to improve. So
brilliant, brilliant. And you've got a really good deal on as well, haven't you?
Yeah, we do. In our mornings, it's £5 for a coffee and a pastry. Really popular.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah. Really good as well. All the pastries are lovely.
And you have some from Sourdough Hub as well, so the focaccia from Sourdough Hub.
Yeah, that's really good. Really nice warmed up.
And the price is really competitive, so we sell them for £5.99. We have a vegetarian option and also the one with the meat. We decided to cooperate together with Jennifer. She is really good. She is really passionate.
Yeah.
Hopefully it will be long time cooperation.
Yeah, it's a really nice cafe, London Grade Coffee. Open, airy, stylish. Lots of space, and there's views over Parker's Peace as well. And a lovely place to go for coffee. And that deal of a morning coffee and pastry for £5 is remarkably good. As we mentioned, there are Jennifer Marshall of Sourdough's Hubs for Catcher there too. What could be nicer?
Oh, I quite agree. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes to find out about the advantage of not owning your own cafe or restaurant, but buying into a franchise instead. And Rosie Sykes has some fantastic ideas for cooking leeks. And of course, with more news, updates from social media and jobs. Don't go away.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Weekends on Cambridge 105 Radio. Flavour explores the food scene in the city in South Cambridgeshire, speaking to the chefs who've made Cambridge their home.
I'm just very passionate about oysters. I love eating oysters. And yeah, I suppose it was just something that I found that there was something to explore.
The food trucks, the market stall holders, and those delivering fresh food to your door.
It's like kohlrabi. We used to have to give it away because no one would touch it until they got to try it and use it, and then they came back and had it more.
Flavour, this Saturday at midday, online and on Cambridge 105 Radio.
For a great range of electrical goods, visit UrboTurbo25.com. We're a top-rated online retailer based in St. Neots that's trusted by thousands of UK customers for the past 10 years. We stock a wide selection of kitchen appliances, vacuum cleaners, power tools, personal care items, phone accessories, and much, much more. We offer free shipping, and most of our items are available for next-day delivery. Check out our 100% feedback rating on Amazon and eBay. Visit us today at UrboTurbo25.com. That's UrboTurbo25.com.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Welcome back to Flavour, food and drink for Cambridge and the surrounding area. Now, this week I met with a chap called Arshad. He's had independent shops on Mill Road for almost a quarter of a century, and recently he opened a new place on the town side of Mill Road, and it's a franchise, and it's called Chaiology.
This side of the bridge, you start a new business. For me, I can tell it's not easy to start a business. When I switch over to new franchise here, it cost me fortune. I don't know if we can recover it, but hopefully it will go very well. For the time being, it's busy. But it's a lot of overhead, We are barely making even.
But it is early days, and like you say, there is activity going on here. It's always busy.
Yes.
Every time I go past this place, you've been open now, what, a couple of months?
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm happy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's better than before, but you have to make this place fill up more staff, more equipment, stock. It's going to cost you. Thank God we're still working. Some people, they don't have a work.
Yes.
And we are providing student job as well. We used to have a 3 or 4 people working here. Now we have maybe 10 people working here.
Mm.
So you are doing for community more help. This is my happiness into it. We are providing to those people who don't have a job.
Mm. So, quick introduction.
My name is Arshad, 102 Mill Road, Geology, Cambridge. And I'm the owner.
You do consider yourselves one of the old guard businessmen?
Yes. I came to this country in 1976 on Mill Road, first halal restaurant here called Sweet and Spicy.
Which he opened in?
2001.
And then in 2017 he opened?
Cambridge Gourmet Grill, providing gourmet pizza and gourmet burgers, some authentic curries as well. I always liked Cambridge. I tried to move out a few times. First time I went to Manchester, but I came back after 3 days. Then I moved to Dubai. I came back after 1 week. I went to USA. I came back. Cambridge is Cambridge. Mill Road is Mill Road. You can't compare Cambridge to Peterborough or to Luton or to London. No way. Cambridge is Cambridge. All my family is here in Cambridge. So I joined my family. They have a restaurant in city center. It's called Shalimar. On Hills Road, they have a restaurant they call Spencer Store. So I manage those restaurants, but I never learned cooking. We started 2001, Sweet and Spicy, authentic homemade style restaurant. But it takes a lot of effort and we have to find proper chef. So I learned myself the cooking. I have to be authentic and like homemade. Then people likes my cooking, but I'm getting old. So my kids, they want me to have a rest. Then we start gourmet grill, which is much easier than the sweet and spicy.
So that was the reason for changing business?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then we gone into grill and pizza. I learned how to make a pizza, but we have a lot of competition, so I don't want to take people's business away. So I just thought, let's try a third one, like a franchise.
The Chaiology franchise.
This is different than anybody else. Also, it's easier for me. So they cook it for us. They have a special chefs. They send us every 2-3 days new freshly cooked meal. We just prepare it here. My kids, they are new generation. They just want to run it modern franchise and the modern way.
Because when I last spoke to you, I think your son had just graduated from Anglia Ruskin.
Yes.
With a business degree.
Business degree.
Yeah.
And now he's working with me.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to open another franchise.
Oh, right.
So he's going to be running franchise.
Yeah, and that franchise will be opening in the center of town. It'll be a pancake shop called Fluffy Fluffy, opening soon.
After COVID, a lot of chefs, some are back, but they changed their profession. They said, we don't want to go into restaurant business because they have more hours, no family life. When it's COVID time, you spend a lot of time with the family and they don't want to miss it.
Yeah.
I don't blame them. I know a lot of doctors, they've gone into plumbing. A lot of engineers, they've gone into barber shops.
I guess also with a place like Chaiology, it's an example of you adapting the business so that you can retain the staff.
Yes, hopefully. This is our aim, to provide more jobs, especially to students as well. And also for permanent people, if they want to come and join us, they are very welcome.
Yeah.
So no discrimination, whoever you are. So we have lots of multicultural staff. But this is easier than the previous business. Then I give more time to my family. But I love working here. I don't know. It's a way of my life.
I think it's important for us to cover something like this. Our radio station is a community radio station. We're only allowed to interview local independent businesses. Mm. And that was fine when you were Cambridge Gourmet Grill and so on. But I thought there must be a reason why you've chosen to go for a franchise now. And it is important because you're kind of highlighting the reasons why it's good for the community. Mm. Why it's, you know, we shouldn't necessarily put you aside just because it's a franchise. Franchise is not a dirty word, necessarily.
My thinking is totally same as you are asking the question. I'm not going to work for franchise. I'm not going to work for any big company. But sometimes you are doing a lot of effort and you are not getting it. So the franchisee have experience to get those kind of services like we've done now. We've been doing chai before. No, I never sold maybe 1 liter or 2 liter before, but now we are selling nearly 18 to 20 liter a day. They know the way how to go forward. And you're very limited when you're doing your own. They can do the work for you and you serve the community even better. But I'm free. Some franchisee, they are bound to buy their product, but I'm not.
So you have the freedom that you want, and you also have the benefits that you want as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have more time.
Yeah.
But don't worry, this is a still independent business. So it's nothing very big or whatever. We're still staying and serving to the local community. Thank you very much.
Lovely, thank you. Yeah. And you're listening to Flavor on Cambridge 105 Radio. You know, it feels like Arshad's trick is to diversify his way out of situations. When Sweet and Spicy became too labour-intensive, he changed his business to the Cambridge Gourmet Grill. He installed that big charcoal grill Josper oven for steaks, burgers and pizzas. And now, 7 years on from that, he has reopened as part of this Chaiology franchise, which is all about wraps, street food, cakes, waffles, rice bowls, all manner of hot and cold drinks. Arshad is looking to retire soon. He said he feels confident with Chaiology. His son has taken over. The style, the slick delivery and the ethos of this business suits him better than the Cambridge Gourmet Grill did. And it's a business decision that will hopefully see the family through these tough times on the high street. And like Arshad said, it'll actually allow them to employ more people locally as well, which he's always said is one of his most rewarding aspects. Training people up, giving them the skills and the opportunities they need. So there you go. You can find Chaiology at 102 Mill Road, close to St Barnabas Church, and also close to Culinaris Delicatessen too.
More news now, beginning with news about local-ish markets. Tomorrow, the 10th of March, from 10 till 3, is the Bury St Edmunds Farmers Market, a very popular and highly regarded market, and an easy train ride away. On the 24th of March, the Grandson's Farmers Market returns to Little Grandson Village Hall, and Cheveley Farmers Market near Newmarket is also on the 24th of March, and that one is running from 10 till 1 p.m.
Finboys will be selling their fish and seafood at the Gog Farm Shop on the 16th and 17th, 23rd and 24th, and the 30th and 31st of March.
Looking ahead, on the 15th of June, it's the Taste of East Anglia Food and Drink Festival. There'll be lots of street food and chefs on stage, ginger distilleries, wine producers, local beers, chocolatiers, coffees, pickles, all sorts. And it's held in the grounds of Kentwell Hall, just outside Sudbury.
Stir, the coffee shop and bakery business in Chesterton Road, Green Street, Fulbourne, Histon and soon to be Cherry Hinton, is considering offering people the chance to buy shares in its business with rewards for investors. They're in the early stages of thinking about this and want to gauge how much interest there is. And if you think you might be interested, you can let them know via a direct message on Instagram. And in due course, they'll provide more information and you can make your decision based on that.
Some food workshops now. The Food Museum in Stowmarket has some Easter workshops. A chocolate egg workshop on the 28th of March. Mexican baking workshop on the 2nd of April. a Ukrainian baking workshop on the 5th of April, and Middle Eastern baking workshop on the 9th. And for members, there are two special events, a hot cross bun afternoon on the 29th of March, and an Easter feast on the 7th of April. And booking is essential for all of those activities.
I'd love to go to a hot cross bun afternoon.
Oh, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? Yeah.
At Cambridge Cookery, there are some Easter classes, several of which have sold out, but there are still places on the 9th of April for Italian cookery for teens. On the 10th of April, hot cross buns and yellow saffron plats, and that's for parents and children, including teens. And also on the 10th of April, cooking curries, and that's for parents and children.
At the White Cottage Bakery in Bourne, there's a French bread workshop on the 3rd of April, babka buns and brioche on the 19th of April, and an Italian workshop on the 25th of April.
Finboys has a simple fish prep workshop and a lunch on the 21st of April. The workshop will include some classic sauces. It begins at 10 a.m. with coffee and pastries, and there'll be a family-style fish lunch for the group at 1 p.m. with bread, salad, wine and Jack's gelato. That is £150, and it includes a Finboys apron and a tote bag.
Right, on to wine news now.
There are tastings coming up at Amphora, which are on the 13th of March for Sherry, 20th of March, Bordeaux versus Bordeaux blends, 27th of March, Young versus Old Wines, on the 3rd of April, Old Vines, whose grapes are fewer in number but with a more concentrated flavour, on the 10th of April, Natural or Low Intervention Wines, and 17th of April, Volcanic Wines, including the wines of Lanzarote, Etna and Santorini. The cost is £38.
And at the wine rooms in Hills Road, there is a tasting of Rioja and Ribera del Duero on the 14th of March, Cabernet Sauvignon from around the world on the 21st of March, Bordeaux and Southwest France on the 18th of April, and Tuscany and Central Italy on the 16th of May. And those last two are hosted by Steve Hovington of the Cambridge Wine Academy, the cost of which will be £30.
There are two new wines from Gutter and Stars, the Cambridge winery based in the Windmill at the end of French's Road. The 2022 Chardonnay is £33, and so is the 2022 Pinot Noir. Or you can get a twin pack for £60, and you can order from the Gutter and Stars website.
Cambridge Wine Merchants has a whisky fair at Westminster Hall in Maddingley Road on the 22nd of March. There will be more than 80 whiskies from around the world. The evening runs from 5 to 9 p.m. and costs £25. And that is the end of this news break.
Local chef Rosie Sykes has a new book out now. It's called Every Last Bite, and it's getting a lot of favourable coverage. She has such inventive ideas for food. We asked Rosie if she could give us some ideas for some of the winter staples, and today is the turn of leeks.
Oh, yes, leeks. I do love leeks. Just bought some amazing leeks at the market this morning, quite small ones. I think they work really well if they're very slowly cooked and they become really sweet. And then you can sort of finish them with something like lemon zest and thyme, something to kind of lift them a little bit. But they've got an amazing sweetness that goes really well with, say, a potato cake, or you could add a little bit of cream and you've almost got like a sauce. They'd be really nice if you're making a macaroni cheese, throw a few of those in. A great base for a soup with some of your potato mash. I also like grilled leeks. I sometimes, if I'm grilling leeks, I cut them sort of on the diagonal. Give them a really quick blanch in some boiling salted water. And then I put them on a tray with, paint them with some mustard maybe, some thyme, maybe a bit of cider if I've got some knocking about. And then just put them under the grill so they get nice and charred. And again, when I've got the oven on, I often put whole leeks in. Just clean them up a little bit, take their if they've got any fluffy bottoms, get any mud out of them by cutting through them and just washing them. Put them in whole and they'll caramelize on the outside. And again, then you can chop them up. But you can also eat them whole with a lovely sauce like sauce grabiche, which is a sort of mayonnaise-y type sauce with chopped egg and tarragon and capers, and or with a white sauce. They're really versatile, I think. Really nice in a salad as well, if you roast them, a sort of warm winter salad with some bitter leaves and some goat's cheese and walnut. And yeah, I think leeks are very excellent.
Yes, I do too. That was Rosie Sykes, many thanks to her. And do you use leeks much, Sue?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I love leeks because they've got a nice sort of subtle flavour. And we grow our own, but they never get very big, sadly. So always skinny leeks.
Right. And anything special you do with them?
Generally
there is an accompaniment, are they?
They're an accompaniment, or I add them in place of onions or with onions. Yeah.
What about you, Matt? Are you a leek man?
Only recently converted.
Oh.
Along with mushrooms. And and I really love the smell, that kind of biting flavour of frying leeks.
Yeah.
It's just beautiful.
Yes.
And listening to Rosie just then, I never gave a thought to actually eating a leek whole.
Oh, yes, small leeks are beautiful, Rosie. Yeah. I love the sauce gribiche idea. I think I might have... Well, I might have made that once, but I didn't think I'll try it again. I love capers. Yeah.
Mm. OK, so a thumbs up for leeks.
Indeed.
There's the familiar music signalling time for news from social media.
Dulcedo Social in Eddington has opened, and it's a soft opening, so it's sort of getting going, really. And at the moment, that is today, Saturday, they have obviously coffee and baked goods, but they also have gelato, including vanilla, apricot, black tea and bergamot. Which reminds me, Culinaris had some bergamot fruits last time I went in. I didn't buy one. I rather regret it. I shall go again. Anyway, back to Dulcedo Social's gelato. Another flavour they have is mango, and they have peppermint and chocolate, which sounds rather yummy.
Interesting.
And a marina cherry and biscotti gelato as well. And I also noticed that Bold Brothers is selling Bonanza coffee from Berlin, which is not a roastery I'd heard of before. And it makes me wonder... Why? Why are they going to Berlin for their coffee? Perhaps it's extremely
perhaps
good.
It's good. I mean,
Bold Brothers do very good coffee. Mm. And Stir have a coffee for this month only, and it's just in their cafes, not in their bakery shops. And it's an all-woman roastery called Girls Who Grind.
Oh, I like that. Yes. Of course, it was International Women's Day yesterday, so... Yeah.
Yes, there's been lots about that in the news as well, but it was yesterday, so we've... Rather... I started buying my coffee from a shop near where my daughter lives because the coffee there is just so good. And it's all-press coffee. Mm. And since I've started buying it, I noticed... Well, in fact, since I started getting it, Fitzbillies have switched to it as well, and it is I think it's really excellent coffee. Yeah. And on the pack it says, for specialist recycling.
Oh, yeah.
Send it back to them. Mm. So I saved up about 15 or 20 packs, and I sent these packs back to them. They're in Dalston in East London. And I put a little note in saying how much I've enjoyed their coffee. And to my surprise, earlier this week, I got a package through the post from them with a reply to my letter saying how much they appreciate being told how nice their coffee is, a voucher for a free coffee in their cafe, which I assume is in Dalston as well, and a big bar of their own chocolate.
Oh, how nice is that?
Which is from Belgium. And I thought, and it was all to thank me for using them to recycle their packs.
That's charming, isn't
it? That's just
really
lovely.
Nice. Wow.
It's just a lovely thing to do. A thing to do. Lovely thing to do. Anyway, that's a rather extended social media news. And we've got a few minutes left, so shall we have a look at what's our food ideas that are in today's papers? Actually, I only got The Guardian today, so...
Oh, well, there's some nice ideas there, particularly with Felicity Cloak with her masterclass in creme brulee. I love the way she does things. It's so good. So I was just saying, I made a tatin last week, and I went to her for the sort of definitive, let's look through all the recipes and the best way of doing something. It's brilliant.
Yes, because that's what she does, isn't it? On alternate weeks, she goes through lots of her recipe books. And I don't know if you saw the Instagram of her recipe.
You just showed it to me. It's amazing. Yeah.
It's just...
Her collection, I think... So, yeah, I don't think I have as many as her. No, I don't.
I think she... I wonder if she gets sent them, actually, by publishers because she makes such public use of them, I suppose. Anyway, so sorry, creme brulee. So you're going to make that?
I've made it before,
right.
but I like making a creme brulee. It's very satisfying making your own custard. Always a bit of a slight worry because you don't want it to curdle. But there's always ways of rescuing it if it does. So. And you've found Samimi Tamimi's.
Yeah, Samimi Tamimi works with Yotam Ottolenghi. Samimi Tamimi is actually Palestinian. And he's got recipes in today's feast, which are obviously Palestinian-style recipes. And easy makluba, I mean...
Yes, I've heard of makluba.
I don't know whether it's a relief that there's an easy makluba or not. Yeah. I've no idea what the...
I've never made one, but I've always fancied making one.
Well, just looking down the ingredients, I just think it's an essential. But you were interested in the herb and salted courgette salad.
Yes, I was, because often in the summer we get so many ruddy courgettes. And
what, do you grow your own?
We do grow our own, yes. And, you know, they always glut.
One plant feeds a thousand people.
Oh, yes, it does. But this is a really interesting idea of cutting them into strips and salting them and having all sorts of lovely herbs and spring onions. So, yeah, nice.
Yeah, I think a lot of our food nowadays, because we've become so sort of international in our cuisine, uses a lot of spices.
Mm.
But except for people like, I'm sure there are exceptions to this, and people probably could be getting quite angry about it, but the modern table, her use of herbs is fantastic. And I sometimes think in my own cooking, I'm quite good on spices, but less good on herbs. I think because we don't grow our own, but we should do. So getting fresh herbs is not always that easy.
Yeah.
So I think this herb and courgette salad and the herbs
sounds
in
lovely.
It is.
Yeah.
So there's dill, mint, parsley. I mean, nothing too exotic is it?
No.
Anything else strike you?
A lot of them are fairly vegetarian, a lot of these recipes. Yeah, and there was a nice one towards the end, though.
Well, there's a nice one towards the front as well. Wild rice and cauliflower salad. And it's interesting, before Otto Lengi became really well known, he was on television. He was on a food programme on television. It's probably the first time he was on British television. And he was just talking about cauliflowers and how utterly underrated they are.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now they've come into their own, haven't they? I mean, you were talking before
steaks.
About
yeah.
some of the dishes at the Wings thing in Cafe.
That's right, yeah.
Wherever it was.
And weren't they almost in danger of being removed from supermarkets at one point, weren't they? Yeah, in the last couple of years, because the demand was so low.
Yeah, well, I didn't know.
Blimey.
I didn't know that.
And then those lovely Romanesco ones, the green ones, which always look so cute.
They look lovely. Yeah. And Otto Lengi has classic retested legume noodle soup, but he goes back to his own old recipes and sort of rethinks them. And what's this one? Egg drop udon with seaweed furikake. Well, I don't think that's a bit too obscure for me.
I thought that was a ban.
It probably is.
I like that, the egg drop furikakes.
Right, shall we move on to our jobs?
Yes, why not? The ever-present Booker T and the MGs with green onions. And that is, of course, signals the start of our job section. And we begin with Brew Eddington at 37 Eddington Avenue, which has vacancies for baristas.
Also in Eddington, Dolcedo Social, which is now open, has vacancies for an experienced sous chef, a chef de partie, and a pastry chef. Email dolcedopasserie@icloud.com for more information.
The North Stowe Tap and Social has vacancies, and here's Alex White, Operations and Marketing Manager, with details.
We're currently on the hunt for full-time front-of-house staff who have got a background in hospitality, and we're also looking for an assistant baker to support Molly. Go to our website, northstowetapandsocial.com. On there is all the job specs, and email me through info@northstowetapandsocial.com.
And Steak and Honour at North Stowe Tap and Social needs staff too. Email Leo by email hello@steakandhonour.co.uk.
Midsummer House is looking for chefs. You'll work 4 days a week and do 7 services. For information and to apply, email recruitment@midsummerhouse.co.uk, and staff accommodation is available.
Now, here's a quick roundup of other jobs. You can apply via the company's website or pop in at a quiet time for a chat. Chefs of all levels are needed at Pint Shop.
Limoncello is looking for a chef, and the Tivoli is also looking for a chef, but in this case, a head chef.
A sous chef is wanted at the Waterman, and a senior sous chef at the Hotel Divan.
Chef de partie positions are available at Market House, Tivoli, Trinity College, and Provenance Kitchen.
And front of house staff are needed at the Tivoli, the Old Bicycle Shop, and the Mill.
And finally, an executive chef is needed at Parker's Tavern.
And that takes us to the end of our programme for today. Don't forget that we're here on alternate Saturdays at 12 p.m, repeated on Mondays at 6 p.m, and Thursdays at 2 p.m. And we are also available as a podcast from all the usual podcast places.
And coming up next on Cambridge 105 Radio this evening is Strummers and Dreamers with Les Ray, followed by Rock of Ages at 9.
But that's all for us today. We'll be back on the 23rd of March with lots more food and drink news, jobs and features. Until then, thanks for listening and...
Goodbye.